Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. I thank you that you're here, that you're present. We've already heard you. And I thank you that we just get to dig in deeper, Father, that we get to continue to dig into your word right now. Jesus, I pray that you would remove distractions. Pray that you would cut away lies, but that we would hear your word honest and true. Father, that you would speak to the foundations of our hearts so that we can get to know you and get to know who you are more and step closer into relationship with you right now. We thank you for Dom and the preparation that has gone before. And we just thank you that he's here at this time for right now. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Sarah. We're going to cast our eyes to the screen for a moment. There's going to be a short clip, and maybe you want to close images up on the screen for a series we're going to kick off today, Living in the Goodness of God, if we can have that now. Peace. I keep hearing this theme of peace, and even last week it came up a number of times. And sometimes I look at that psalm as one that can offer us some peace, can't it? Is there dog lovers in the room? Yes, just a couple. Well, we've got a 5-year-old black and white border collie. She's a female. She was the runt of the litter, so she's not a working dog. She's a very good pet. But she's one of those dogs, as a true working dog, she needs to be walked a lot. So I haven't got back into the habit just yet since we've moved, but in Canberra, I used to walk, there's a lake near our house, and walk around in the morning. It took about 40 minutes to go right around. But I remember in winter last year, it was about -3, you know, when the dogs walk in, and you know the mist comes out when it gets really, really cold. You might be aware of that here. But when it gets really, really cold and you breathe, the condensation comes out. When the dog is doing that, you know it's cold. So I'm out one morning, all my gear on, gloves, the whole works, walking the dog, listen to a podcast, probably off in my own world, trying to bear, you know, tolerate the cold, and walking. And she's highly anxious. She doesn't really like a lot of other dogs. Sometimes she doesn't like people. She's unpredictable. But walking along, and here comes this big German Shepherd bounding towards us. And it was a big German Shepherd, right? My encounters with German Shepherds is one as a guard dog. You know, we walk past like a business and there's dogs barking at you. Big German Shepherd, right? Or the other one is like, you know, for security and stuff like that. They're usually big, big dogs. Anyway, this dog come bounding towards us. I froze, not because of the temperature, but just stood there and thought, what is going to happen next? You know those moments you have when you go, you know, that little freak out inside? What's going to happen next? Anyway, it comes over, and you just see our dog just sort of froze as well and hackles up, ready to respond, and this dog's just like wanting to have a great old time. Long story short, we end up, the dog had a check chain, and there was no owner around in sight, so I tried to walk this dog home away from Oreo on the other side, and it was about, I don't know, 20 minutes from home. Got them home, found the owner, all is good. But it was certainly one of those experiences that you just don't know what to anticipate sometimes. Just that tense moment of unpredictability. The situation where you wonder, how am I going to get through this situation? Sometimes we face situations in life, don't we? We go, how am I going to get through this situation? How am I going to keep these dogs apart, get this dog home and get it sorted? Which presents the question for us, is God really good all the time? Is God really good all the time? It's easy to come to church, and we say that quite a lot here. In the short time I've been here, we serve a good God, right? God is good. But in your own life, when we step away from community, when Wednesday night something happens, is God really good? So we're going to unpack this over these coming weeks, looking at Psalm 23. On your seats is also a handout this morning, which has got some fill-in-the-blank spaces. And that's a resource for you to take to fill out if you wish. Don't have to. Fill it out to take it home, to put on the fridge, to put in your journal, wherever, as a reminder of what something I said today, a scripture verse we referred to today, but also a chance to write your shopping list if needed. All right, for after church. Let's not do that, but I like to write things down, because if I don't write things down, I forget. That's why I have a calendar. If I don't put things in the calendar, write it down, I forget about it. So that's just a resource that we like to use. But we're looking at this series. So the question is God really good all the time? Is God all the good all the time when you're walking your dog home and another dog comes bounding towards you in that moment? When you don't get that job you've always wanted, you sit through the application and an interview and everything else. When you experience pain, hurt and sadness in your life, is God really good? When a relationship breaks down, when you're in physical pain, is God really good all the time in those moments? When life gets messy, in the little things in our lives and in the big things in our lives, is God really good? When we get complacent in life and hit cruise control and let go of the controls, or we find ourselves in those darkest valleys in life and experience, we sometimes lose sight of God's goodness, don't we? When we hit cruise control, let go of the steering wheel, let go of the controls and just cruise through life, suddenly in those moments when you can lose sight of God's goodness. So what happens when I forget God's goodness? And it's the first point there. I start claiming credit for myself. I start claiming credit for the things that God has done in me. In Acts, the Bible tells us a story of King Herod, who was the king of Jesus' day. The Bible records in Acts, one day King Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and he made a speech to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of God. It's the voice of a God. He's more than human." And because Herod gave no credit to God, the Lord sent an angel to strike him down with a fatal disease and he died. Wow. Boom. Now, what a sobering a warning in that one. God didn't take his life because he was immoral, greedy, lied to his people. He said because King Herod gave no credit to God and said he claimed it for himself. The Bible asks us in 1 Corinthians 4:7, there, which is there in your outline, it says, "What do you have that God hasn't given you? What do you have that God hasn't given you?" The answer is nothing. Literally nothing, because in James 1 it says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from God." Yeah? Every good and perfect good gift comes from God. What happens when I forget God's goodness? I stop asking God for help. I stop asking God for help. This is when we overlook God's willingness to assist us. We become self-reliant and stop seeking God's help in our lives. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we're reminded to ask, and in particular, Matthew 7, which has been referred to today already, "Ask and you receive, search and you'll find, knock and the door will open." In that, he cares about not only the little things in our lives, but the big things as well. He actually just cares about our lives and what goes on for us. He wants us to bring those requests before him to ask. I remember Nathaniel would have been about 3 at the time, and we lost the car keys. It's dangerous only having one set of car keys, right, for your car. Anyway, they were missing. We looked everywhere, high, low. We even broke into the car thinking that the keys were inside, went through all that experience. And in the end, we're starting to get a bit desperate. And I started praying, "God, we need to find those keys. God, where are those keys in the house? Where are those keys? Are they down the drawer? Where are they?" Anyway, not long later, I lifted up Nathaniel's toy box, and here's the keys sitting on top in there. So I think God cares about those little things in our life. He gets our attention, so he brings us back to him to be reminded that we can't do without him in our life. You ever prayed those desperate prayers? And it doesn't matter the size of the request, but God's in the small and in the large. He just simply wants us to ask. What happens when I forget God's goodness? I stop trusting God in difficult times. I stop trusting God in difficult times. When I lose sight of God's goodness, we stop trusting Him. Instead of going to Him with the difficult, the things that we endure, we put ourselves in isolation and try to figure them out for ourselves. That becomes a very lonely and dark place, doesn't it? We become very isolated. Where I think it can spiral out of control can allow us to make poor choices in our lives. Puts us in that place because we're in isolation, we removed ourselves. Paul, a guy who knew about living in the tough places, he says, you know, we can have joy even in our trouble. We can have joy even in our trouble. Sometimes I find it hard to find joy in my trouble. You know, when you're trying to find the keys for your car, it's like I just get more and more agitated, more and more frustrated. But Paul, someone who, lived life on the edge for the message, was able to find joy in troubles. He says, because we know that the troubles are good for us, producing patience and character and hope. Produces that in us. It's not always easy, but is it? It's not easy to sit in those spaces, but it does a work in us. God has a purpose even in the difficult times. A chance to pray, God, you're a good God, because I know you're going to use this to produce character and patience and hope in my life. To put us in that space. You ever prayed prayers like that in troubled times? Opportunity to be able to do that. Not everything that happens in our life is good, but God can take whatever and bring good out of it. Building trust in Him to place our hope in Him even when the future is unknown. When we don't know what's ahead, when we don't know what's around the corner. Rick Warren, in his book, The Hope You Need, gives a definition of hope where he says, hope is anticipating God's goodness. Do you like that? Hope is anticipating God's goodness. The only reason we have hope is because God's a good God. If God is not a good God, there is no radical, rational, logic reason for hope, because we're up the creek without a paddle. We're on our own. And being on our own is very isolating, isn't it? It can be very isolating, putting us in those spaces. So back to the original question that I presented to you. Is God really good all the time? And I want to answer that this morning. How do we know that God is good in our lives? We can read about His goodness in His Word. We can recall when He has been good in our lives. And we can revere Him in worship. Three things that we can do to know that God is good in our lives. A good place to look for answers is in the instruction book, isn't it? Not in the back of the book. Because if you go to the back of the book, you'll find, you know, context and everything else. But in Scripture, to look through the book, look through the instruction book. So how do I know that God is good in our lives? We can read about His goodness. We can read about His goodness. In Psalm 105, it says this. It says, the Lord is always good. He's always loving and kind, and His faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. Do you like that? The Lord is always good. And we can see that throughout Scripture. Maybe on that scripture, that particular verse, you want to underline always good as a reminder this morning. In His Word, it says He's always good. The writer of this psalm is suggested to be David, someone who personally experienced God's goodness in his life. His life was far from perfect. Far from perfect. He came through many, many challenges, but he was able to write these words. And, you know, I've lived this life, I've gone through these circumstances, but the Lord is always good. Now, the Bible says that God is good all the time, but how is that true? How is that true in my life? In Hebrews, it says, under this new plan, we have been forgiven and made clean by Christ dying for us once and for all. In Hebrews, He died for us once and for all. So how do we know God is good in our lives? We can read about His goodness. How can we know that God is good in our lives? We can recall when He has been good in our lives. We can recall, we can look back at our lives and go, where has He been good in our lives? The writer of Psalm 77 in the first half writes about feeling abandoned by God. He talks about praying and feeling isolated and alone. You ever felt that? Yeah? pretty sure most of us have, hey, those moments in life you feel isolated and alone. Well, the writer come across that, but then he comes to verse 11 where he says, I will remember your great deeds, Lord. I will recall the wonders you did in the past, and I will think about all that you have done, and I will meditate on your mighty, mighty acts. It's this turning point where the writer admits that while I don't feel God close, the writer recalls what God has done. And then for the second half, I think it's another like 10 verses or somewhere around there, he writes about all the things that God has done in his life. He recalls that. How often do we stop and reflect or write, if you like writing, to recall those moments to remind us where God has been good in our lives? To recall those moments. It's easy to write a negative list of the challenges in our life, isn't it? But what about those good moments in our lives where God has been good? Where God has been good. Though it doesn't have to be even like a mountain moving experience. Sometimes it's even in the little things. At times, with my kids growing up, I've had an opportunity some nights to pray with them. And we used to pray for things like, thank you, God, for a roof over our head, food in our tummies, and a bed to sleep in at night. Just being reminded of those small things in our lives. And also the big things as well, to write them down and to recall them, recall what they are. And there's a spot on your handout. It's always good to go in threes, yeah? So there's three spots there to write down three times that God has been good in your life. Why don't you even, if you don't want to write, and if you're confident enough, tell the person beside you right now. When has God been good in your life? Be brave. Go for it. Anyone brave enough? How do we know that God has been good in our lives? We can revere him in worship. Now, you'll see that there's a theme of ours in those statements. And I looked at the word revere and I thought, what does actually that word mean? The word means to feel deep respect or admiration for something. Deep respect or admiration for something. In Psalm 34 from the Message, it tells us, worship God if you want the best, because worship opens the doors to all of God's goodness. Yeah? Worship God if he wants the best, because it opens the doors for all of his goodness. One way we can experience God is through worship. We can worry or we can worship. Yeah, in our life, we can go through those circumstances. Now, I'm not just talking about reserve for here on Sunday at church, though that is great to be able to do that. But every moment in our life, we have the opportunity to worship. You can do it in the car or listen to music. You can walk down the street and thank God and to worship him for what he's done in your life. There's many different times that we can do that. What we worship is the things that get our attention. We can worship money. We can worship relationship. You can do it indirectly. We can worship the things by focusing on acquiring more. Or we can worship God and give him our attention, can't we? To turn our attention towards him. Because it talks about in Scripture that he's a good father who wants to give his children good gifts, right? Not what we want. Can't do the vending machine prayer requests. God, I want this, I want this, I want this. But it talks about he gives us what we need in life. We can worry or we can worship. It says in Matthew 6, seek the kingdom of God and above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need. He will give you everything you need. What we worship gets our attention and worship opens up the goodness of God in our life. So how do we know that God is good in our lives? We can read about his goodness in his word. We can recall when he has been good in our lives. And we can revere him in worship. I want to call the worship team back up this morning. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to be exploring more of Psalm 23 and explore the goodness of God through that psalm. But for today, here this morning, as we've gathered, as we've come to worship him and look at this question, is God really good at the time? I wonder what your response is this morning. There's an opportunity on those handout sheets for notes down the bottom. If you want to write some notes down there this morning when they sing, you're welcome to do that. If you want to jump to your feet or sit in your seat and worship with the words up on the screen, we can do that as well. Or maybe you want to come and kneel and pray, or pray in your, where you're sitting this morning, just to recall, to read about his goodness, or to revere him in worship. Let's do that this morning, shall we? You want to do that with us? Then let's do that this morning.